Absolute Wrestling Radio, your spot for the best mixed martial arts and professional sports entertainment information. Now, please welcome to the ring your host, Mark Bland, with Matt Kruger and Andy Eckel.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Absolute Wrestling Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mark Bland, your St. Louis World Heavyweight Champion, and nobody's actually proven me wrong yet.
Not yet.
Only one person's taking me up on it. Some douche.
That dude is mean. Am I even on? Hello.
Yeah, you're on. Okay. I'm hearing you, buddy.
I can't hear me.
Okay.
You don't need to hear yourself.
Donovan Ruddick is a douche, and he took me up on my challenge. So who cares what he thinks, honestly? But I'm gonna whoop his tail, and then I'll continue to be the St. Louis heavyweight. I might even get a belt made up for myself.
You can have my belt right here.
Oh, well, that's kind of disgusting.
I'll take my pants off.
Total's 314. Total. Phone call is 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380 from the east side and worldwide on team1380.net. That's right. Give us a call, 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. We talk pro wrestling. We talk mixed martial arts. And ladies and gentlemen,
and we talk a bunch of nonsense.
Let's talk about Lyoto Machida. He takes care of business and is the new UFC light heavyweight champion.
Woo!
Tonight is TNA Sacrifice, and there's a lot at stake in the main event. And last week was Judgment Day, and there wasn't many changes, but some great, great matches. So,
and some really bad ones.
Hey, record me at a great level over there. I want a great level out of you this week. I want a great level. I love you.
Yeah, and by the way,
welcome back,
Travis.
Yeah, Travis, welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back.
He doesn't even care. Look at him. He's just so busy talking to Graham Bensinger. Look, the phones light up when Mark Bland gets on the air because they know that this, and not Mark Bland, just Team AWR in general.
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, my name is Mark Bland.
I'm Andy Eckel. Thanks.
I am Matthew Kruger. How's it going?
It's all good.
The world.
Andy, let's get this thing banged up.
Why don't we just welcome everybody to the Machida era?
Let's go to the Machida era. Lyoto Machida is constantly described with the use of one adjective. Elusive. With a second-round knockout of previously undefeated Rashad Evans, the word dangerous will certainly find its way into future descriptions of the new UFC light heavyweight champion, ladies and gentlemen. Machida's stunning deconstruction and destruction of Evans in the main event of UFC 98 capped off a night of stunning finishes and emotional wins at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. The highly anticipated main event started as most expected, a testing battle of patience between the two counter-strikers left some fans in the building a little uneasy because
of what just happened last month at UFC 97, where, you know, the bout between Anderson Silva and Talos Latus basically just was nothing. It was horrible.
Well, it filled the heads with booing attendees, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, Machida dropped the champ briefly with a well-timed low kick, straight right combination. It was the sole notable offense of the opening frame, but it was enough to ensure the challenger took the early lead in the scorecards. The second round would leave that footnote irrelevant. Machida again took the center of the cage for the second frame, and after a spirited exchange from each fighter, the karate stylist took control of the fight. A stiff left hand immediately rocked Evans. The assault continued. Machida frantically attacked his rapid-fire assault of straight lefts and rights, reminiscent of a prime Chuck Liddell. Several found their mark, including a devastating left hand that dropped an unconscious Evans flat on his back. This dude folded like a house of cards in a hurricane, man.
Man, he, like a chair at a 4th of July picnic. He
folded
up, dude, and he hit the ground. He hit the ground hard.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, Lyoto Machida is your new UFC light heavyweight champion, and he probably will be there for what?
A long. I'm calling it now. I bet it's going to be at least 2 years.
At least 2 years before Lyoto Machida might even have a challenge that takes him out?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 years, but how many fights?
Oh, that's probably about five fights.
Five or six.
Five or six fights. You figure a guy fights about every 3 to 4 months.
Well, except
on
for
average.
Anderson Silva.
Unless you're Quentin Rampage Jackson or Anderson Silva, you only fight like once every three years.
Or 4 years.
At all. Hey, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Nick, welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio. What's going on, bud?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Welcome back, Nick.
I know what yesterday was, right?
What was yesterday?
The anniversary of when Owen Hart passed away. I'd be a fool if I didn't mention that.
Was that yesterday or was that in June?
That was yesterday. I'm 100%.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Fair enough. You know, I was in actually the Scott Trade Center when it was the Kiel Center back then, the night after Owen Hart passed away when they did the big tribute to him.
And how was that? I mean,
honestly, you want to know the honest.
But overall, how was it as a show?
Let me tell you about back then. Randy Orton was still in the military. He hadn't even decided to be a professional wrestler yet. I was early in my career. Basically, Christopher Daniels and Reckless Youth were the number one independent wrestlers at the time. And I'm just kind of setting it up for you so you kind of know what we're talking about. That night in that place was probably the worst show I ever saw. And most people would sit there and go, well, that's kind of disrespectful to say because it was a tribute to Owen Hart. I think that that's why it was the worst show I ever saw. It wasn't as uplifting as you wanted it to be. When I go to a WWE event, I really, really want to have a good time. And unfortunately, I understand why WWE did what they had to do. They wanted the show to continue on, which is fine. There's no problem with that whatsoever. But at the same point, it was like overkill. We were already sad. We all already were sad that Owen Hart had passed away, Nick. And then you have an arena full of like 20,000 people basically crying for like 2.5 hours straight. You know, you got the prelim matches and then the 2 hours of Raw. I mean, it was just, it was too much, man. It was just a kick in the balls. And unfortunately, you know, I hate to say it like that, but, you know, I think that they should have taken a week off. You know, take the week off, allow people to get back, you know, just like they canceled after the Chris Benoit situation, they should have done the same thing with Owen. It was a little too quick, too much, and it was one of the worst shows I ever went to. At the same point, they do a good job at WWE of tributing, giving tribute to people. They really do. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt. Everybody's like,
gonna tribute the Macho Man.
Yeah.
And last question. I know I don't normally talk about what other fans say and everything, and write into some wrestling sites and all this. But there was a question that I thought was interesting, but I think it's kind of way out of line. And it's the question is: do you think that Owen Hart passed away like that? Vince's way of saying that he didn't want another Hart in the WWE. I mean, I couldn't believe a fan would actually bring that up. It was NoDQ.com, and a guy had to answer it, and he said no, there was no way. He said it wasn't an accident, and I mean, I just wanted your thoughts and how you feel about that. And,
okay, let me make sure I understand you. The question the guy asked was whether or not there was a conspiracy by Vince McMahon to take Owen Hart out.
Because he didn't want another Hart in the WWE, and I thought that was kind of, I don't know, an interesting question somehow. But
it is interesting. I think it's completely off base, and honestly, yeah. I'm a little pissed off that somebody would even think that.
Yeah, yeah, Nick, I'll be honest, you know, Vince McMahon is a hardcore SOB. Let's be honest. He doesn't have a very kind demeanor about him when it comes to business. And Brett and anyone else will tell you that. At the same point... Unless you're Shawn Michaels. But at the same point, Nick, I don't think ever at all that Vince McMahon ever wants to harm anyone. Okay, I think that he might have personal hatred and dislike for guys like Stan Kroenke, which we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I don't think that he would ever go out of his way to try to set someone up to be killed. And I will defend Vince McMahon on that.
I really didn't think so either.
That's
I mean,
a little
I know
over the top.
People
yeah, no.
call him dark and all that kind of stuff, but I just think, I mean, when he's behind closed doors, I think he's just kind of normal, but I mean...
No, Vince, above everything else, is a businessman, and let's be honest, Owen Hart was a marketable person. He was over with the fans. He had tradition, history. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. There was so much money to be made, so unless something really stupid and crazy was going on behind the scenes that nobody even knew of, it just wouldn't make sense.
I don't think, on a financial reason, to get rid of Owen. I don't think Owen was as Nick and Andy. I want to hear your opinion too, because it is 10 years later. I think this is a very interesting thing to look back on. And now that it's been 10 years, we've seen kind of where WWE's gone since then. Kind of some of the stuff that's come up.
And if you didn't want the Harts, why do you have the new Hart trilogy?
Yeah, my question for you, Andy, is. How was the impact of Owen Hart on you? And I disagree with you. I don't think he was what you consider a marketable character at all. I never believed that.
Not Blazer.
Not with that gimmick.
Not even as Owen Hart.
Really?
Oh, I think as Owen Hart, he could have totally been over.
I think he was very solid wrestler.
He was so good of a wrestler.
Was he better than Chris
Owen
Jericho?
Hart could have been where Chris Benoit was. I mean, do you think he could have?
Exactly.
Was, I mean, because
exactly.
They're both Canadians and all that, and I just think given a little tweak or something here and there, do you think he could have gone like more or done more?
Yes, I do. If you can have Chris Benoit be as over as he was, because let's be honest, he was loved by the fans, loved by the wrestlers, loved by the company. If you can have Chris Benoit as the heavyweight champ, you should totally have Owen Hart in the same position.
Fair enough. I understand. I agree. So, right, Nick, anything else?
Have a great show.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, Andy, we never really got to you on that situation. What's your opinion on that? Of the Owen Hart thing.
I think anybody who says that Vince McMahon set him up to die is a complete moron and needs to just go jump off a bridge right now, because that's completely ludicrous.
Practice falling down.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no there's no base. I mean, that's so far out of left field. Like, I honestly, if you were to ever ask that to Vince McMahon's face and he knocked every single tooth out of your mouth.
Oh, that's a cage fight right there.
I honestly wouldn't be offended at all.
Yeah.
I think you actually deserve it for asking such a stupid question.
Owen Hart died on May 23rd, 1999, which was yesterday, Kansas City, Missouri. Congratulations, Nick, on being correct on that. But let's not talk about death and dying. Nick, we appreciate the call. Thank you, as always, for calling Absolute Wrestling Radio. And anybody out there can call 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. We're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about a new UFC light heavyweight champ at UFC 98 right now. And we're going to be talking about Judgment Day from last weekend coming up here real soon. Let's go through the official results, Andy.
Yeah.
Lyoto Machida defeated Rashad Evans via knockout of punches.
Knockout. Yeah, his first loss came by getting knocked out.
Put him in the freezer. Uh-oh.
I needed a glass of Rashad tea.
That's right.
Matt, was so cold.
Matt Hughes defeated Matt Serra via unanimous decision. A decent fight. A lot of people I read online said that they thought it was a sucky fight. I honestly believe...
It was boring because he just wrestled.
No. I think it was actually a good fight for one reason only. Matt Hughes and Serra actually countered on each other as far as like submission moves. They countered submissions on each other quite often. The throws were awesome. They really did a lot of good throws on each other to get each other down to the ground.
Yeah.
And it was totally called right. Matt Hughes won that fight.
Now, I will say this. It was very interesting to see the post-fight conference, because Matt Hughes and Matt Serra both said the same thing about the first two rounds. Matt Hughes said, I lost the first round and I won the second round. Matt Serra said, I won the first round, lost the second round. Then they were both like, well, I kind of edged out the third round, so I kind of figured it was going to go that way. So, and I can actually see Sarah's point of how he might have thought he won that round. The problem is that Matt Hughes was on top.
You screamed at me last night when I tried to make that a point, but it's the total truth. I mean, Matt Serra, the last minute of that fight, he actually took it to him strong enough to hit points.
But you know what, though? The problem is that that last minute wasn't strong enough to affect the previous 4 minutes of the third round. So that's how I, and like I said, dude, I called it last night. I said 29-28, unanimous decision, Hughes.
Yep. So, also, Drew McFedries defeated Xavier Fukupokum via TKO strikes in round one. Channel Sonnen defeated Dan Miller via unanimous decision. Edgar takes out Sean Sherk, the Shark.
Yeah, the muscle shark. Shark.
The muscle shark.
Now, here's the... But you know what, dude? Sean Shark's only lost to a very select few people. BJ Penn, Kenny Florian, Frankie Edgar, and there's one more.
That many times makes me wonder if the dude should be there anymore. It really does.
Dude, he's only lost four times.
Four times. Yeah, but that's out of how many years now?
Four or five.
Machida hasn't ever lost.
Yeah. There's certain people that are just
okay, so
tails.
If Brock Lesnar loses his next three fights, does he get his walking papers?
Brock Lesnar
future endeavored?
Needs the same amount of fights. He needs the same amount of chances as Sean Sherk's had to lose that many fights. And if he loses the same amount of fights as Sean Sherk has, then yeah, he should. Just because he's only had three fights or four fights, so you can't.
Had three in the UFC.
Yeah, Sean Sherk's had probably what, 10? 12?
Oh, I have no idea. A lot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just being honest.
So let me pose this question to you: what would be the percentile of losing that you would consider a proper amount to be future endeavored?
Three losses.
50%.
Three losses in a row. I would say three losses in a row at any point.
Losses in a row. Let's say you've had 15 fights.
You can't necessarily say that, because that would be Liddell's gone then.
Yeah. But everybody's now questioning it. Everybody's like, yo, dude, is it time to retire?
It's possible.
You know, they were saying the same thing about Matt Hughes after the loss to St. Pierre, the loss to
Thiago Alves.
Thiago Alves, and then there was another loss in there, too.
So if Albert Pujols is in a slump, do you think, and he's not hitting home runs, and he, you know, at three at-bats, do you think he should get fired?
That's a different story. That's three at-bats out of an entire game, and there's like 160 games a year. If there was 160 fights a year for Sean Sherk, and the guy only lost three, I'd be like, wow, okay, dude lost three out of 160. That's a lot. He's 33-4-1.
But if you were to take the same percentage of success rate, comparatively, the percentage of success or loss rate between a baseball player or a fighter, do you think that
I don't think
one
there's
of them
a
should
com-
be?
I don't think there's a. I think that, I don't think there's a comparison there whatsoever.
I think there is.
Frankie Edgar, he lost to Frankie Edgar. He wins against Tyson Griffin. He's got a loss to BJ Penn. He lost to George St. Pierre, like you said, and the other one was to Matt Hughes.
That was GSP. Yeah, that's right.
And he's I mean, this dude's had 33 fights. Now, a 33-4 record is pretty darn great to have. I'm just going to be honest with you. The guy is really a stout fighter. At the same point, he's got two losses in the last three fights. Now, of course, they're to Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn, respectively. So I understand that. But my point is this. He lost to St. Pierre, to Matt Hughes, and to BJ Penn. Those are three of the best dudes in the last 5 years. So is this guy a perennial number two? Is that what we're, I mean, is it cool to be the perennial number two? Because that's what it's looking like to me. Because everybody else is at the number one spot at their position in the last 5 years. So
yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, hey, what can you do? That's what you get when you move up in weight class. Anyway, for the preliminary bouts of UFC 98, Brock Larson defeated Mike Pyle via submission. Arm triangle choke. Got submission of the night. It was awesome. Tim Hugh defeated Pat Barry, which kind of surprised me, but he got a guillotine choke on him. Kyle Bradley defeated Felipe Nover. Due to TKO and strikes. Christoph Szczesny defeats Andre Guzman via TKO strikes. And Yoshida defeated Brandon Wolf via submission with a guillotine. And George Roop defeated Dave Kaplan via split decision. Now,
who's next for Lyoto Machida?
Rampage. They said it in a post-fight conference. Rampage is getting the next shot at him.
God, Lyoto's going to hurt that dude.
Here's my problem with Rampage. He's a bigger, stronger, slower, but more powerful than Evans. But the problem is he's still slower. Rashad couldn't get out of the way of Lyoto's punches. Rashad didn't even touch Lyoto Machida the entire first round. I mean, it went probably 6.5 minutes before Rashad Evans even touched Lyoto Machida. So and Lyoto Machida still didn't even have a mark on his face at the
post-fight conference. What if Rampage knocks out Lyoto?
I'll be shocked.
Do you think he can catch him?
What if he does? What would you say about Rampage at that point?
I'll say
the last year was pretty much a fluke in his career. Then it was just, you know, too many stressful situations that kind of piled at the same time between the car situation and then.
Who? What do you mean? He's won a lot of his last. The last fight he lost was the Forrest Griffin. He beat Vanderlei Silva and he beat Keith Jardine. You know,
but of the last year, 6 months of the last year were spent basically running from the law and having a bunch of personal issues.
That's because Rampage is a moron. But we'll talk about that other times. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know when people are going to start giving Lyoto Machida the respect that he deserves. This dude is the most dangerous fighter in the UFC.
By far.
By far. He gets hit the least. He gives
I would
the most
love
damage.
To see, I honestly, I'm
Anderson
just going to be honest.
Anderson Silva versus Lyoto Machida.
I want right? No. I want to see Lyoto Machida versus Fedor. I really do. I think that he's big enough to take on Fedor.
Yeah.
So he's strong enough to actually maybe make an impact on Fedor. Fedor, yeah, he's got a lot more weight, and he fights at a weight class up, but that shouldn't bother Lyoto Machida too much because what he loses in that, he makes up for much in skill and speed. I think it would be a great match to see Lyoto Machida take on Fedor Emelianenko.
I mean, when you have here's the deal. This is why I don't think Rampage stands a chance against Lyoto Machida. Rashad Evans has very quick hands.
Yes, very,
very quick hands. And he did not even come anywhere close to touching Lyoto Machida in the first round.
Well, Rashad comes out with a big chain around his neck, though. So we got to give the edge to Rashad. Rampage? To Rampage, yeah. Rampage comes out with a big chain around his neck. So
that's,
we got to give
okay,
him the edge.
You know what? Lyoto Machida is going to come out for a long time with a big gold belt around his
neck. We're getting ready to take a break, but check this out. Matt Hughes, does he retire or stay there? I say he should retire.
I think he should retire too, but I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to sign like another probably 2-fight contract.
You think he's going to try to go for the title again?
No, I don't think he's got a prayer at the title. Not right now.
I think he's going to try though.
It's possible he's going to try, but he's going to have to beat some top competition first.
I think he should retire, but I think he's going to try to run at the title one more time. Which is fine, because if he can pull it off, that's great.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Alves destroyed this dude. Alves is fighting GSP at UFC 100, and GSP destroyed him the second time they fought.
Yeah.
So, either way, I don't see either one of those two going a different way if they fight again.
Now, one last question I have for you.
Okay.
Mick Fedries, could he be the next big star in the UFC? I mean, he's been there for a while. We saw that. We've seen his record. He's been there for a while. He's been there since...
I think Mick Fedries has a lot to offer in the middleweight division. I really think he does. I'd like to see Mick Fedries versus Damian Maia, but I think Damian Maia's next competition is probably going to be... Probably going to be Anderson Silva after 1-on-1, after Anderson Silva gets beat down by Forrest Griffin, and he has to drop back down because he can't hang with the big boys in light heavyweight.
All right. That's cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break on Absolute Wrestling Radio on Team 1380.
Yep.
And you can listen worldwide on team1380.net.
Absolutely.
Give us a call, 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Jump on the lines. We want to talk to you, UFC 98. We're going to talk about TNA Sacrifice when we come back.
Which is tonight.
Which is tonight. WWE big deal.
WWE versus Denver Nuggets.
Oh, my goodness.
Nugget.
This whole Vince McMahon versus Kroenke thing. This is unbelievable. Yeah. This is out of control. Kroenke's a little wimpy-looking dude, too, so I don't think this is going to go very
far.
Dude,
I'm calling it, man. Kroenke versus McMahon.
McMahon's got way more money than Kroenke ever had, too. Way more money.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
So,
this is out of control.
We're also talking Judgment Day from last week. And,
that's it.
What else?
Hey, we'll be back on Absolute Wrestling Radio right after this.
You're listening to the Absolute Wrestling Radio Podcast.
Let's go party.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Just fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yes, it's really bad that we know the song. Singing. And for those of you listening, this is Absolute Wrestling Radio, and you can thank Graham Bensinger for that little tidbit of comedy.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Graham. You're awesome.
Thanks for the song, man.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio, and let's talk a little bit about this WWE Denver Nuggets thing. Graham kind of hit on it with his show a little bit.
And, yeah, so now we're going to start talking about the Iditarod Championships.
So here's the situation.
Call Bear Grylls.
Yeah. All right, bring down my music, man. That music's killing me. WWE versus the Denver Nuggets. If you've been living under a rock, ladies and gentlemen, it is a well-known fact that the WWE has moved their Raw show from the Denver Pepsi Center this Monday due to the Nuggets basketball team being in the NBA Western Conference Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, let's add one more villain to the WWE vs. Denver Nuggets story, although this one will come as no surprise to most of us, Ticketmaster. The Fox affiliate in Los Angeles has posted a video talking to some disappointed WWE fans who had tickets to this Monday's Raw at the Pepsi Center in Denver, Colorado, which we all know has been moved to the Staples Center in Los Angeles. In addition to talking with the fans about not seeing the show, the piece points out that when the fans get their refunds, they find out those dreaded convenience charges and facilities fees that we all pay when you get those tickets, they will not be refunded. That's right. So while the fans got back the price of the tickets, ladies and gentlemen, they were still out anywhere from $12 to $25 per ticket. That's a big kick.
That's BS.
That is total BS. Now, of course, it has been a long complaint of many Ticketmaster and venue charges are unfairly made non-refundable, even in the event of a show being canceled. And there's no way avoiding those fees, even if you purchase tickets at a box office. I think that is total BS. There's absolutely no reason why Ticketmaster or anybody needs to put fees on top of it. Here's the thing. Ticketmaster, I've worked with them in the music business 1,000 gajillion times. It's simple. They charge you a fee to be the person who handles your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they already tell me as a promoter or a person who has artists, they tell me, hey, listen, if we're going to do the pageant, it's going to cost you. Now, the pageant might not be Ticketmaster. I think they might be MetroTix. But
yeah, I think they're interested.
There's a few different places. There's the same point.
It's the same thing.
They tell me that off 50 cents or a dollar of every ticket sold, that goes into their pocket right off the bat. Yeah. Then on top of it, they charge an extra fee on top of that for Ticketmaster for convenience charges, like they said, in these facilities fees.
Yeah.
That's total BS, too.
Now, you want to hear something even more BS? Is this Ticketmaster charges twice, and this is on a low end, $12 per ticket, 20,000 tickets sold. You know how much that comes out to? Cash money in Ticketmaster's pockets for not doing anything?
Nope.
$240,000.
$240,000 is what Ticketmaster made off of the WWE thing, and that's on the low end.
That's on the low end. That's if they only sold 20,000. And when's the last time you saw a Raw show with only 20,000 fans?
Well, most of those places only hold about 20,000.
Yeah, most of them. Well, yeah, okay. But even still, $240,000, that's more than most people listening right now or most people who ever listen to the radio make in a year.
Now here's
Ticketmaster made it in 1 week just by canceling a show and not returning the convenience fee.
Now I just want to get into this Kroenke versus WWE thing because I'm actually not on the side of Vince McMahon or Stan Kroenke. I'm actually kind of a non-biased person down the middle, and a lot of people would sit there and go, "Well, that doesn't make no sense." It seems like it's really cut and dry for Vince McMahon. It really does seem like it's a cut and dry situation. Like he got screwed out of the deal, so then we move on. No, here's what you guys don't understand. The NBA Basketball League is not a fine science, okay? You don't know at the beginning of the season if your team's going to actually make it into the playoffs or not. You hope they do. You hope you have a good enough team that is going to. You know, and if you won the championship the year before, the chances that you can do it again are pretty obvious. But mm-hmm. The Denver Nuggets haven't been in the Western Conference Finals for, gosh.
Ever?
No. The last time, I think, was against Salt Lake City. Against Utah Jazz back in like 1994 or 95,
yes,
something like that.
A long ass time.
It's been a while since the Denver Nuggets actually have had anything. I think Dikembe Mutombo was like their big player at the time, which is forever ago, okay? On top of that, even though you make it into the playoffs, it's just like baseball or basketball or any of these other sports. It's the playoff system. If you get a number one or two or number three seed, yeah, you might get home field advantage, so you get four games at your home place as opposed to three. But if you happen to be on the lower end and you're a number eight seed, you're only getting three games. So that actually changes up everything, too. You know, you could even at the beginning of the season know that your team's good enough to make it to the playoffs, but they only squeak in at number seven, And the next thing you know, that Monday Night Raw is still able to go on because they're in Dallas. They're in Dallas or, you know, Lake and Lakerville or whatever, you know, again.
Yeah.
Because just the way that the scheduling works out for home team versus away team advantages on the road during the playoffs. So I understand where Stan Kroenke is at the same point. Stan Kroenke, you're a douche.
Yeah.
You're a total douche because of one reason. You didn't handle this situation properly.
No.
WWE did have a contract with your organization. If there was a problem, I think Vince McMahon should have been a little bit more accommodating to the situation. It was kind of like they had to pull Vince's teeth before he decided to go to L.A. to the Staples Center. You know what I'm saying? I think he should have been a little bit more accommodating. At the same point, Stan Kroenke, man, dude, that's not good business. I'm sorry. It's just not good business.
No.
And unfortunately, and Matt, what do you think about this, man?
I am on the side of Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon has had that arena reserved since August of 08. And I think basically Kroenke is being a big jerk because he had no faith in his team. Why would you book an event?
It's not about having faith in your team, though, man.
Oh, really?
It's not about having faith. That's why you just explained. Right. Even not, if you had faith in your team, it could work out to your advantage.
It was in August of 08, man. There's no way to predict what's going to happen from August of 08 to May of 09. I mean, we could have all died by then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, we can walk out of here right now and not come back next week. Because
do you think Vince McMahon would argue with God that he wants all of his reserve revenue from all of the things if he died? Like if the world came down to Armageddon tomorrow or something like that, do you think he would argue with God?
Probably.
Because I could see Vince McMahon being like, listen, I'm Vincent Kennedy McMahon. I ran the most profitable television show business over the last 20 years in the United States of America, and I want all my revenue from all those shows that I lost out on because I died because of Armageddon.
Yep.
Give it to me.
Yeah,
I can totally see him arguing with God, dude.
That'd be funny.
I'm not joking. I just think
that's
funny.
That's an awesome bit, actually.
314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380 on the team lines. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this WWE Vince McMahon situation. Let us know what you think about UFC 98. Let's talk about TNA Sacrifice right now, Matt.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Tonight is TNA Sacrifice. And we're going to run the card from the bottom up. Amazing Red versus Kiyoshi in a free preview match that will air before the pay-per-view, which they started to do this, and I kind of like that. They used to do that with WWE a lot, too. They used to do the free-for-all for WWE before WrestleMania every year.
Yeah.
They don't do it anymore, but it's kind of cool when people do that because you're kind of getting some cool stuff out of it.
So basically they're airing dark matches.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
But a dark match could also be a main event match that's just not televised. That could be a dark match, too.
Oh, yeah.
Beer Money versus the British Invasion in the finals of Team 3D. Who do you got, Matt?
I think they will go with Beer Money. However, I'd like to see the British Invasion. Just because Beer Money, to me, right now is so played out.
They need to go away.
They are good wrestlers, though. They're good workers.
Yeah, but they need to go in the future and never mind.
I don't know about that. James Storm just signed a very long-term contract.
Yeah.
So,
get new gimmicks, guys.
While it makes sense, storyline-wise, to go Beer Money, because Team 3D and Beer Money, they have a lot of history, I say give the new guys a chance.
Yeah.
See what they can do. Let them run with 3D. Let them see if they can put on a good main event show. Give them a shot.
I like the British Invasion. I think that they're going to beat Beer Money, actually. I think that the fact that Team 3D has actually been putting Beer Money over a little bit lately on the microphone, talking about how they respect them and they're a really good team, that's kind of given a little levity and credibility to Beer Money as a tag team. So they can run off of that for a little while as a good guy team, a little face value. So I think British Invasion is probably going to get the win because you're going to get more heat from a heel group like the British Invasion.
Yeah.
Against Beer Money than you will, or against Team 3D, than you will get Beer Money from Team 3D.
You know what? I agree, and that's what I said. But as we all know, the WWE, TNA, the promoters, basically nobody knows how to write a storyline anymore.
No.
That's true. The Motor City Machine Guns and Sheik Abdul Bashir versus Lethal Consequences and Eric Young.
I don't get this match. I don't understand it. What does Sheik Abdul Bashir have to do with the Motor City Machine Guns, and what does Eric Young have to do with Lethal Consequences? This seems like a totally random mix-em-up match that they're just trying to have faces and
it's very
popular
possible
stars
that's exactly
just
what it
in
is.
The ring.
That's probably exactly what it is.
I mean, I like. Here's the thing we were talking last night, you and me were. I like EY. I like the whole I like the whole Eric Young angle that they're going with right now, him fighting against the powers that be.
Dude, he had a match with Sting. How big of a push is that? He lost, of course, on Impact, but to be put into a match with Sting, the icon, the legend.
Yeah. That's a big move.
That's big.
Yep. Taylor Wilde versus Daphne in a Monsters Ball match. Now,
this is so stupid.
What is a Monsters Ball match? Because I guess I'm just not up to date on
one of them has to rape the other one on the couch. And
whoa. Wow. That was a little over the ten. You apologize.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Holly Berry. It just looks so real. I mean, let's be honest, dude.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Billy Bob Thornton made that look very, very real. So that was either really good acting or it was real.
I have never seen that movie, so I had no idea what you're talking about. But
wow.
Explaining it, yes, I know what you're talking about now. So anyway, back to the match. Taylor Wilde versus Daphne in a Monsters Ball match. Mark, you had posed the question, what is a Monsters Ball match? A Monsters Ball match is a hardcore match that was started by Abyss. So, because he's the Monster Abyss, that's right. His name. So, being that Daphne is being kind of sided with the Dr. Stevie angle with Abyss, it's pretty much going to be like a hardcore match. Now, I like Taylor Wilde because she can run. Daphne has been awesome for like the past, 16 years, all the way back in WCW in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
She's Daphne. What do you expect?
Dude, she's awesome. And she's so hot. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
This Kevin Nash versus Samoa Joe, the Nation of Violence.
Go away, Samoa Joe. Go away, Kevin Nash. Nash, you can't move. You're big, you're strong, you're powerful. You got a good look, but you're done, son. And Joe?
Whoa.
Joe, I don't know what you're doing, but it's crazy, and I don't like it. Oh, but by the way, can I do my spoiler about what my thoughts on the Nation of Violence?
Who's going to come out?
You think?
Who's
okay, gonna... all right. Huh? For those of you who don't want a spoiler, and go ahead, 3 seconds. Okay, so here it is. The Nation of Violence, I believe, is going to be included with Joe, of course, Taz, Dr. Stevie, Balls Mahoney, Spike, and Bobby Lashley. They're going to work the whole ECW angle, the extreme angle, and they're going to have now three staples. The Main Event Mafia, you're going to have the Nation of Violence, and you're going to have the Frontline. That's my spoiler.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Angela Love versus Awesome Kong for the TNA Knockouts title.
I don't even care.
Title.
I'm so lost
who
on
really
that.
Cares? Suicide versus Daniels for the X Division title. That should actually be a pretty good match.
They both can work really well.
Yes, so they can.
That'll be awesome. Mark, you said you don't like the suicide angle. You're getting kind of bored with it. I think it's awesome. Maybe it's just the costume.
Who knows? AJ Styles taking on Booker T in an I Quit match for the belt that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't matter. Now, here comes the fun one. Mick Foley versus Sting versus Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett in a four-way for the TNA title.
And it's all about sacrifice. You got Mick Foley. What has Mick Foley got to sacrifice? Well, he's got the title. Sting is putting his career on the line. If he is pinned, he's done. He's retiring. And he'll probably go to WWE, spend a month or two there, get inducted into the Hall of Fame next year, and get his and finally get
you
his,
really think so?
And finally get his DVD. It's a possibility. No. Maybe. No. I'm just saying. It's one theory. Not mine. No. I didn't create it. I'm just reporting. Kurt Angle. What is Kurt Angle putting up? He is putting up his Main Event Mafia Godfather status if he doesn't win. And then Jeff Jarrett is putting up control of TNA. So basically, who will be running? Well, you got Cornette still, which Cornette's just a mouthpiece right now. I don't even understand his role.
Yeah.
Because how can you have three people running the show? You've got Jarrett, you've got Foley, and you've got Cornette. So I'm guessing if Jarrett loses, then you just got Foley as the executive shareholder running the show, making matches, which he's doing anyway. So
yeah, Foley, stop wrestling, son.
It's a cluster mess.
Just stay in the back.
So who are you picking in the final?
Well, I don't think Sting is going to get pinned. I'm probably going to say Jeff Jarrett is an arrogant enough person to allow himself to win the championship because he thinks that's what the fans want. However, as a giant fan of TNA, that's not a good idea. I say let Foley keep it.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to say Foley too.
I want Kurt Angle to win just because I like Kurt Angle.
Wouldn't be bad.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break on Absolute Wrestling Radio. That was the TNA Sacrifice pay-per-view rundown. That is tonight. If you want to watch it for free, you can go to the Upper Deck in South County. Look up the location and directions by searching Upper Deck St. Louis in Google.com.
Yes, come and hang out with me, Matthew Kruger, and Absolute Wrestling Radio, because I will be there, and I will be watching, and I am going to have tons of fun. And if you want to have tons of fun, show up.
Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, get on the lines now, 314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Call us. Tell us what you think. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about last week's Judgment Day results and an email that I received, as well as the video game that just came out for UFC. We got some stuff to talk about, so we'll be back right after this on Absolute Wrestling Radio.
This is the most genetically jacked, athletically stacked giant in all of TNA, the Blueprint, Matt Morgan, and you're listening to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Wow. Welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
This is Matthew Kruger. We are all for one, one for all. We are one and we are strong. That's what I wanted to do, man.
What are you going to start saying? We are the world now?
No. We are one nation,
world.
You are a wrestling fan.
We
you are an MMA fan, and you should join us every single week here on Absolute Wrestling Radio.
I like that. I like that a lot. I think that you make a great point. I think that if you're a pro wrestling fan, wow, they're throwing pins again. I don't understand this. This is out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio. My name is Mark Bland.
Andy Eckel. Matthew Kruger.
Of course, you've already introduced yourself. That's really great.
Well, you pointed at me. What am I supposed to say? You pointed at me.
All right, Judgment Day 2009.
Yeah.
Batista.
This pretty much went out just like we were going to call it, too.
Yeah, Batista took on Randy Orton, and Batista got Batista gets the win. Randy Orton gets disqualified after he slaps the referee in
that
the face.
So weak.
It was weak.
Yeah, it was.
And it was probably going to be...
But why was
the
it
match
weak?
Wasn't all that great Batista anyway. Was in there. I mean, it wasn't all that great of a match anyway. No. I was very disappointed in the match.
Bad stuff.
But that's because Batista just doesn't work.
Batista's got the same gimmick now that he had 5 years ago when Triple H drew his thumbs down to Randy Orton and made him drop him on his head. Ever since then, he's been grabbing the ropes and stomping his heel and then going, and putting the thumbs down.
It's stupid.
It's played out, dude. 5 years. Let it go.
I'm glad Randy Orton slapped the ref, actually, just so the match would end. All right. The World Heavyweight Championship match was really good, actually. Jeff Hardy versus Edge. Edge gets the pinfall, but yes, there was interference. And who was the interfering factor, Matt?
That would be Matt Hardy coming in through the crowd and bashing a cast all over Jeff
that
Hardy's
That is
back
so
of the head.
Stupid also. Like, so you got this great match between these two really decent workers. I think it's time for Edge to take a face turn. I think it's time to be a babyface. I think Edge needs to go babyface. I think it's time for Edge to turn around and become
the
good guy.
So who would be
the
heel then? Who would go heel?
You got Jericho over there. Move him up. You know, stop, you know, putting the focus on those two. You got Big Show. He can heel out a little bit
now. Yeah, but Big Show's on Raw.
Make Ray go heel. Ray's never heel. Make Ray go heel, man. Make Ray.
Yeah, there you go. Make him stop coming out with these gay little friendly kid masks on and start coming out with like
some
black and red and just dark.
I don't want to see Ray. So...
That'd be cool, though.
If you make Ray a heel,
think about
guess what? He's just going to be on TV more. And
he can come out as the
WrestleManiac. Oh, my God, no.
He can come out as the WrestleManiac. If you've ever seen a horrible movie, WrestleManiac is the one you want to see.
Yeah. It is horrible.
Okay, match
for the ECW Championship.
Jack Swagger.
Versus Christian.
ECW.
It's Sylvester the Cat.
Christian gets the win. I'm glad they gave it to him, and I don't care about Jack Swagger. I'm sorry. The guy's not a bad worker. He's actually pretty good, but he looks like a deformed human being. Like his face,
Biff
his jaw
Cannon.
His jaw is like extra huge, and he's like, I
think if he wasn't so toothy and gummy, he might not have the lisp.
I don't know.
It's very possible, but you never can tell with these things.
John Cena. The greatest wrestler
ever.
John Cena, the greatest wrestler ever versus The Big Show. The Big Idiot.
Only because McMahon says so.
You like this match for one reason and one reason only. What was the reason? You said it was very entertaining. Go ahead.
I just liked seeing Cena beaten up.
I thought it was because he picked the Big Show up again and did some stuff to him.
No, that's boring.
Oh.
You are mistaken.
Yeah. Well,
I just like seeing
truckload
Cena beat
fail.
Up.
Was that all truckload right. fail? Truckload fail? Is that what you're talking
about? No. It's
I said fail. Fail on the radio. No. I'm a geek.
It's not a giant truckload fail.
Fail is cool.
However, it is fail.
So, hey, a 12-sided dice is cool, too.
let's talk about another fail. CM Punk versus Umaga.
Yeah. It's a wrestling show.
Really? CM Punk versus Umaga? Who really expected
it? It wasn't a bad match.
Here's the problem. Here's where all the good matches start.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chris Jericho versus Rey Mysterio for the Intercontinental Belt. Good match.
Good match. Good match.
Very good match.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance. I saw the last matches. I didn't get a chance to see the early matches. I heard it was a great match. I heard that Rey and Chris Jericho pretty much brought the house down.
Well, they've been wrestling together for the past 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
In Japan, in Mexico, in ECW. They know each other's moveset. They probably just planned it. You know what? You know what they could have done? And I should probably look at some archive footage. They've probably done that match, the exact same match, at least 10 times.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this, too.
Which isn't bad. It was a good match. It was awesome. I'm not complaining.
I need to remember this, because we're going to talk about it after this. John Morrison versus Shelton Benjamin, I heard it was a really good match.
I think that match was the best match
of the
entire show.
Does that surprise you, though? It's got Shelton Benjamin in it. I mean, if he keeps his mouth shut, he just goes out and wrestles.
Not just Shelton Benjamin.
But that's what I'm saying. He's wrestling with a guy who can actually work with him and do the fast things with him. So, yeah.
Okay, Mark, what's the term? What is it? A face bump where you land on the front
chest,
of your body?
Yeah, it's face bump.
So, okay. John Morrison, in my opinion, does the best face bump I have ever seen in the entire industry. He always lands flush. He's never worried about his junk. He's just
unfortunately
never bends his knees.
Now he does the best now because Chris Benoit going as high and as hard as he did, he always did the best face bump because that's a scary thing to do. A face bump from that high is a very scary thing to do because you want to make sure you land flush. You want it to look good at the same point.
You still want to have
kids. You're kind of worried about if it doesn't land properly, it's going to look like crap.
Yeah.
So anyway, I received an email regarding WWE Judgment Day card. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guys. I was actually really looking forward to the Judgment Day after back. Now, if you ever want to send us an email, you can go to AbsoluteWrestling@Yahoo.com and shoot us an email through AbsoluteWrestling@Yahoo.com. I was actually really looking forward to the Judgment Day after Backlash and how well it turned out. However, I was sorely disappointed. It started off really well with the first few matches, especially Christian versus Jack Swagger, John Morrison versus Shelton Benjamin. But after the Miz Santino promo segment, my interest just disappeared.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I was able to call every outcome and nearly every move that was made for the rest of the show, and that frustrated me to no end. What was the point of spending my money on it if I knew everything was going to happen anyway? I think, however, the part I was most disappointed in was the Jeff Hardy versus Edge match. Personally, I think both performers gave it their all, and I wasn't disappointed by the performance, more of by the delivery of the match and its outcome. I called Matt Hardy's interference the second I read spoilers about Jeff Hardy's win and number one contender status. The WWE prides themselves on being new and exciting and unpredictable. What happened to that? I love the show. Keep up the great work, Team AWR. Brittany. Well, Brittany, thank you for writing into us. First off, thank you so much. That is awesome. I don't know what to say about that. Matt said the same thing to me. I didn't see the early part of the card. I only saw the end of the card. So I need to go back and watch the early part of this card because I heard that the Santino Miz thing was really cool.
Dude, it was so funny. It was, I don't know, Miz was so over. He's so good on the mic. And then you bring out Santino, who's freaking awesome on the mic.
Did he come out as Santino or Santina?
No, he was Santino. He came out.
Oh, this is
he
Santina.
Came out, no, he came out. Very good impression, by the
like
way.
That.
He came out in his like Santino. Hey, I'm doing a Randy Orton pose.
Yeah.
Ferrari emblem T-shirt and a pair of jeans.
Nice. Cool.
Nice.
So, well, Brittany, let me just put it this way, hon. Anybody who listens to AWR, just start realizing, man. Don't argue. There's no point in arguing with us.
Yeah, we're going to tell you.
We pretty much could call it before.
We're going to tell you what's up, man. And if I don't get it right, these two will.
And it's and like, well, like right, I'll tell you, last night, a couple guys that we were watching the fights with last night, they learned the same thing.
And if you're worried about what's the point of spending your money, guess where you should go?
The Upper Deck.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's
there you
great.
Go,
as soon as they start paying us to promote them, then we'll just keep giving them free commercials. But good job, Matt. Hey, way to go.
As long as I get to show up and watch.
Oh, that's really awesome for you. They would do that anyway, even if you didn't have a radio show. Anyway, let's move on. Kurt Angle to Dance with the Stars. Mickey Rourke linked to an escort service. And not just any escort service.
The escort service of who?
Your most hottest girl
WWE diva, Ashley Massaro.
Check this out. Slammiversary tickets also to attend Slammiversary in Detroit.
$7. $7.
$7 to go see Slammiversary.
Awesome. And Jarrett is doing that to celebrate the 7th anniversary of TNA. So that is a really awesome thing for him
to
do.
So next year, should they do $8 tickets?
Why not?
I think they should do it every year until they get up to like $100 tickets.
Dude, TNA is not going to be around that long.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
How close do you think? Well, that's a great question. Before we go into this, how close do we think, honestly, TNA is from falling off the game?
I don't think they're real close right now.
No.
But
they're still making money.
If they keep going the way that they're going in the directions and having all these different sanctions, you know, the Nation of Violence and the Main Event Mafia in the front line, they're going to run it in the ground. They're going to do the WCW,
but
NWO
guess what?
Versus WCW
guess
thing,
what?
And it's going to run in the ground.
We're still talking about it.
It doesn't matter.
Well, if it's not cool, then why are we talking
about
it?
I think TNA probably has another 5 years left under their belt.
Yeah.
And then they're probably going to fall off.
Pretty much.
Unless something major happens, like Vince McMahon's like, you know what, I love that TNA product, I'm just going to jump in with Dixie and do it. You know, unless that happens, I don't think that's going to happen.
The only way I see Vince McMahon jumping into anything with Dixie is in bed.
Oh, well, that's possible too.
And when you got Linda, you know, why not?
I'm watching TNA, TNAWrestling.com, and I'm seeing the video from the end of, like, Impact the other night, and it's just stupid. I'm just so done with Mick Foley trying to be like, he's funny when he's goofy, trying to be the goofy guy who's trying to make people think that he's a cool champion.
Yeah.
But they're really putting him over too much because Jeff Jarrett and Sting, I mean, look at Sting. Sting looks like a caricature of himself. He was at least cool when he was fighting the NWO and he came out in all black. And he was looking kind of like really gruff. Now he's coming out with purple like Joker jackets and bad face paint that looks the same as it always has. And he just looks over the top. And I think TNA dropped the ball when they decided they wanted to be WWE again. Instead of just staying where they were with Chris Jericho.
Wait, did you just say TNA wants to be WWE? No, TNA wants to be WCW.
No. They want to be WWE.
Yeah.
That's why they go the route that they go.
So they
want to
be WWE, but they are WCW.
They got WCW people. That's all there is to it. So, all right. Jeremy Borash posted a new message on the Twitter page for TNA. The TNA superstar Kurt Angle has been contacted to appear on the next season of the ABC hit show Dancing with the Stars. He'll do it. Of course he'll do it. You know why? Because Kurt Angle is the biggest hawk and schlock for anything that he can get his face on in the United States of America. I'm amazed that he's not in that movie that they're talking about all over the internet. Giant Octopus versus Mega Dragon or whatever it is.
Oh, Mega Shark.
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. I mean, God.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
There is a movie starring Debbie Gibson from the 80s.
Yeah.
That just came out called Giant Octopus versus Mega Shark. That's the name of the movie.
Deborah Gibson?
Yeah, Deborah.
She looks good in Playboy.
Yeah, she's great. She's a great-looking girl. I'm just being honest with you. It's just
okay,
funny.
Okay, so what's a worse movie? That one? Or Kurt Angle's new indie movie, Endgame.
Ooh.
Or WrestleManiac.
Or WrestleManiac.
WrestleManiac at least looked good.
Or The Contender. Or wait.
Like, seriously.
Sick.
Sick? I don't know what
that
is.
Sick right. Takes the cake.
Many fans will remember last year.
KurtAngleMovie.com.
Rolling Stone magazine revealed the former WWE Ashley Massaro was allegedly employed by a high-end escort run by alleged Madame Michelle Nikki Braun. HollywoodInterrupted.com has now revealed that several of the celebrities who were clients of the service include the wrestler star and WrestleMania guest celebrity Mickey Rourke.
Is anybody surprised by that?
Other clients include Courtney Love, Jose Canseco, Charlie Sheen, and the magician David Blaine, who gets played out a little bit. I like David Blaine. I think he's cool and stuff.
I wonder if he pulled
it out. Oh, hey, I get to stand in on a pole for a couple of days. I get to be locked in a box for a couple of days. I'm going to sit in a tub full
David
of ice
Blaine's
for a few days.
King.
Hey, David Blaine has his own religious sect.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here this week on Absolute Wrestling Radio. We want to thank Travis for running the board for us as usual.
Thanks. Good job, T-Rav.
Thanks to Jacob Clothing for sending us some hats to wear on Combat Showcase. That was kind of cool. Yeah, that was cool. And they're sending us some shirts, so we'll order the shirts, too.
All right, cool, man.
Thanks to everyone that came out to the pay-per-view watch party last night for UFC 98. It was awesome. We had a great time. Check us out. Message us and see new videos in Mark's situation with heavyweight champion, HBW heavyweight champion, Donovan Ruddick at AbsoluteWrestlingRadio.com. You can go there for anything about Absolute Wrestling Radio. In fact, go there tonight to see a new video. I got a new video that I'm going to be posting tonight on Absolute Wrestling Radio.com, and you guys are going to be very excited to see this one. Next week, we're going to be on at 2 to 3 o'clock. We thought this week we were going to be on from 1 to 2, but evidently that wasn't the case. So we'll be on next weekend from 2 to 3. So join us every Sunday from 2 to 3. If you have any ideas, questions, or anything you want to email us, absolutewrestling@yahoo.com. And last but not least, the Missouri Wrestling Revival is a great site. For the most up-to-date info in local and regional independent pro wrestling, visit them. Also, you can check out our podcast link on their site. Hey guys, tomorrow's Memorial Day. And I just want to tell both of you gentlemen, have a great Memorial Day.
You too. And let's not forget the real reason why we celebrate Memorial Day.
And what's that?
For the troops, man.
Thank you very much,
what's
troops.
What's the reason that we celebrate Veterans Day?
It's also for the troops.
What about
Memorial
Day?
Memorial Day is
what about 4th of July?
That's because we beat them stupid redcoats.
That's because we use troops to defeat people, right?
Yeah.
God, we just have a lot of celebrating ourselves going on in this country.
Memorial Day started way back in the day because somebody said we needed to start supporting the troops a little bit more for all the sacrifices that they've given. It's for all the dead troops. Memorial Day is for all the dead troops. Veterans Day is for all the veterans of you know, these places. 4th of July is because we beat them stupid redcoats back in 1776.
What's Christmas for, then?
Christmas is for the celebration of St. Nicholas.
All right,
and Jesus' birthday.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus was born in the spring.
That was Absolute Wrestling Radio for Mark Bland.
Andy Eckel.
Matthew Kruger.
We'll see you guys next week right here on Team 1380. Some of those that work crosses. Some of those that work.